पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवताम् नारायणेन स्वयम् व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीम् भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दाय तपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महत् वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसचाणूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनि कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्णा खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवः पाराशरीयवचस्तरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोके सज्जनषट्पदैरहरः पीपीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजम् कलिमल प्रध्वंसि न श्रेयसे मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनः यस्यान्तम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः
Before I start the class today, last class somebody had specifically asked a question on the chanting of Gavaha, Sarvopanishado Gavaha, Dhogda Gopala Nandanaha is the chanting Sarvopanishado Gavo Dhogda Gopala Nandanaha. Okay? Why? Right? So, I just wanted to clarify once again that many such verses, you can have a visarga. There are two ways of chanting it. Either Sarvopanishado Gavaha Pause Dogdha Gopala Nandanaha. Now there may be big stanzas in which the line itself may be big, so you have to pause. Right? In this case, you can either cut, break and say Sarvopanishado Gavaha Dogdha Gopala Nandanaha or Sarvopanishado Gavo Dogdha Gopala Nandanaha. Both are perfectly alright. And this kind of situation can occur in very many verses. So, in any form of Visarga Sandhi, this is the root. So, I just wanted to mention that. So, now we'll proceed with our class.
Sadashiva-samārambhāṁ Shankarācārya-madhyamāṁ Asmadācārya-paryantāṁ Vande Guru-paramparāṁ Om.
From the 16th verse of the 4th chapter, we've entered the central teaching of this chapter, right? Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yogaha's central teaching is Jnana Yogaha, which is the Jnana Yoga Saraha. So, in 3rd chapter, we elaborately saw Karma Yoga and now we are going to see the Jnana Yoga Saraha, right? So, the entire Gita actually moves around these two yogas only. Because the entire spiritual sadhana consists of karma yoga and jnana yoga. As I also said earlier, bhakti yoga is not a separate yoga. But you can roughly say bhakti yoga level 1 is karma yoga. Bhakti yoga level 2 is jnana yoga. Because both karma yoga and jnana yoga are only with bhakti. You cannot take out the bhakti from that. Right? So, Jnana Yoga, when we come to, the topic is slightly more difficult as compared to Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is easy to relate to, lot of action, lot of work, right? So, this is a spiritual topic and it is an abstract subject matter. And another thing we must remember is the essence of all the Upanishads is condensed in the Jnana Yoga, right? So, Krishna, Lord Krishna gives an introduction in these two verses, 16th and 17th verse, and in the 16th verse is what we entered into in the last class. Right? This is what we started. Kim karma kima karmeti kavayopyatra mohitaha tate karma pravakshyami yajnyatva mokshyase shuvat. So Lord Krishna says, Kim karma kima karmeti. So, the word karma means action in this context, right? So, it has also got another meaning. What is that? Destiny or fate, right? But in this context, karma means action. The word akarma means actionlessness or inaction. So, Lord Krishna says these two words are normally understood by the humanity in one particular way. But in Vedanta context especially, they have a profound spiritual significance, and the spiritual significance of both the word karma and akarma, most of the people don't know because it is too profound to be understood. And Krishna uses the word kavayaha, means even informed scholars who are experts in all other branches of Shastra, even they are confused regarding the spiritual significance of these two words, karma and akarma. Therefore, Atra, with regard to these two topics, which are they? Kim karma, what is action? Kim akarma, what is inaction? Right? We are going to see the real meaning, right? So, is it something that when you do some action, it is karma? When you do not do some action, it is akarma. Is it that superficial meaning? Or is it something which is beyond that? Even scholars don't know, and not only they don't know, they have got confusion also, mohita, right? So very important. So he is going to teach not only what is karma, but also what is akarma, right? And this teaching is going to start from verse number 18, right? So this is the introduction, right? Very important. And you might wonder, what is the use of knowing the spiritual significance of these two words? Right? After all, they are two words. Lord Krishna says, it is worth knowing because this knowledge will liberate you from samsara. Yajnyatva mokshase ashubhat. That means, this will actually, by gaining this knowledge, you will be able to get out of the samsara problem. Ashubhat here refers to samsara. Samsara, from the trap of samsara. You will be liberated if only you understand this spiritual significance of these two seemingly innocuous or innocent words. Right? Very important. So, what is action? What is actionlessness? In this regard, even sages are deluded. Therefore, Arjuna, I shall teach you the nature of action, knowing which you will be freed from samsara. Continuing, karmano hyapi bodhavyam, bodhavyam chavi karmanah, bodhavyam chavi karmanah, akarmanascha bodhavyam. Akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gatihi, gahana karmano gatihi. This is also another introductory verse where Lord Krishna says, karmano hyapi bodhavyam, right? Tattvam. Know the tattvam. We should supply the word tattvam, right? So, we have to say spiritual significance of the word karma or action. Bodhavya means is to be known or is worth knowing for the seeker of moksha. So this is also introduction to the next verse that's coming up, right? So spiritual significance of the word akarma also must be understood by you. Not only you should know action and inaction, vikarmanasya bodhavyam means wrong action, inappropriate action, unethical action, right? Dharma viparita karma. What is that also should be known by you, right? So you need to know what is action, what is inaction, what is inappropriate or wrong action, right? And one has to know the significance because gahana karmano gatihi, right? Gatihi here means tattvam or the essential truth, right? The essential truth. So you should know the profound spiritual significance of these words. That is what is meant here. And it is too deep for an ordinary person to understand because one should note that the essence of the entire Upanishadic literature, right, is there in this. Therefore, Arjuna, it requires the Upadesha of an Acharya. Without Acharya Upadesha, one cannot understand. In fact, we will find that even after Acharya Upadesha, it will continue to be a mystery, right? The following verses will be even deeper, the verses that are going to come up, right? So, if there are beginners of Gita, right, generally, the first path that they go through, the 18 chapters, Karma Yoga will sort of settle down. Beyond that, it will not settle down, right? So, in fact, it is very strange that this is my own experience with Swamiji and, you know, the different rounds of teaching that you go through with him, right? You sometimes feel that Swamiji is becoming a great teacher, right? And apparently some people go and tell Swamiji that, Swamiji, you are teaching so well these days. Actually, the student is going through it the second and third time that the same teaching that was taught earlier starts appealing better, right? And Swamiji says, I'm not saying I'm not improving, but the fact remains that I am still teaching the same Gita. It is that for you, it becomes clearer and clearer, right? So, if at all there are beginners who are listening first time, it will sound abstract. We have to go through several cycles of teaching. And in fact, one is to understand Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga in depth, etc. The other one is from the Sanskrit side, right? To first understand in English, because first let us understand what Vedanta is all about. Then the Sanskrit behind it. Then the, you know, the Anvaya Rachana, that is word by word meaning. What does it signify? So, I think we can spend a lifetime on just one text, which is the Gita itself, right? So, initially we try to understand Karma Yoga and live the Karma Yoga way of life and expose to Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga will be abstract and appear impracticable also. But if you keep on listening, right, and not only that, we should also revise here introduction to Vedanta, what I've already taught, or there is also another textbook called Tattva Bodha. Basically, the textbook Tattva Bodha is what I have actually summarized based on Swamiji's teaching from talk number 5 to 11 of Introduction to Vedanta. So, it is not that you have to go through Tattva Bodha. It is the Tattva Bodha's essence and the important topics that I have actually covered in Introduction to Vedanta. Right? Why is it important? Because that is the only text which covers in the shortest possible way all the terms needed to understand Vedanta, right? Even the definition of Atma, which I've taught so many times, is all picked up from there. Okay? So, Tattva Bodha is something that we need to keep on revising if we have to understand Gita. So, introduction to Vedanta itself, that entire 12, 11 sessions, 5 to 6 sessions, you have to revise continuously, right? So, after Gita, several cycles, we will gradually start grasping the Jnana Yoga part of it. Initially, it will appear abstract only. So, Lord Krishna gives a warning here. Gahana, the significance is too deep for grasping in the beginning, and having given this warning, right, he's like sort of saying it's a speed breaker, right, intellectual speed breaker. He's saying, be prepared for this journey, right, and then you enter into the actual topic itself. So, prescribed action also should be known. Prohibited action also should be known, inaction also should be known, for the nature of this action itself is subtle, right? Continuing, karmanya karmaya pashyet, karmanya karmaya pashyet, akarmani cha karmayah, akarmani cha karmayah, sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayukta krishna karma krita sayukta krishna karma krita. Now, I just want to mention one point before continuing with verse 18. If you observed in this verse when I was pronouncing, I said yah pashyet, and I also said sayukta krishna karma krita. Now, during my sessions when I'm doing this, I am not spending time on the pronunciation of the verses because I am focusing on the meaning at the verse level. It is very important for me to actually remind you all that there is a session started on Saturdays in the mornings on how to chant Gita. All these, you know, the rules are being communicated very nicely and neatly. So, if there are students who are interested in chanting, I would recommend that you take up that course also so that in parallel you can learn the chanting, because my focus is not on that. I thought I should just mention this. Okay? So, Lord Krishna now begins. You would have noticed the 3-star here because this is a very, very important verse. Lord Krishna begins the teaching of Jnana Yoga from this verse. And 18th verse is the toughest in this group. It will go on up to verse number 24. And Lord Krishna starts the very teaching by giving a contradictory pair of statements, or seemingly contradictory pair of statements. That is why I put up the meaning here. Do not read more into this. we will go through it in a gradual manner. This is a very, very profound verse. He who sees actionless of the self in the action of the body, and he who sees potential action in the inaction of the body is wise among men. He is a yogi who has accomplished everything. Each of these will be clear to you once I go through the explanation. So don't worry too much about the meaning right now. Okay? So, now, Bhagavad Gita has a lot of these paradoxes and these Swamiji calls them as naughty or mischievous verses, right? So, it looks like there is a story behind it, which you might have heard, a Puranic significance. It seems Vyasacharya wanted to write Mahabharatam and he wanted a good stenographer who can copy down quickly, and after scanning several people, he decided to have Mahaganapati as a scribe. And you would have heard that Mahaganapati actually broke his tusk to write, right, as a writing pen. Now, Lord Ganapati actually put a condition to Vyasacharya. I will write, but I will write so fast and I don't want a gap in between. Therefore, you should dictate your verses continuously without a break. If you give a break, I'll go away, right? And now, that's a very tough condition because Vyasacharya is not reading Mahabharatam. He has to compose the verses, right? Imagine to continuously compose without a break is a tough proposal. But Mahaganapati has put this condition. So Vyasacharya says, it seems he has said that I will fulfill your condition, but you too should fulfill a condition. What is that? That is, you should not mechanically write. Okay? So now why did he say that? Swamiji has a very good joke here, he mentions. Apparently, those days he used to type the summary of every chapter. Okay? So, when he used to type the summary, when he was typing fifth chapter summary, which is Sannyasa Yoga summary. So, one of his students genuinely wanted to help him. So, he took the stenographer and said, okay, you can type. Okay? So, the topic of renunciation comes, right? So, Sannyasa Yoga is renunciation. So, there is a portion which says, internal renunciation is extremely important for moksha. He has dictated like that, Swamiji. And when the copy came, right, after he finished typing the stenographer, Swamiji found that everywhere instead of renunciation, he has said remuneration. Because in the corporate world, they only know remuneration, right? So for moksha, remuneration is extremely important, right? So like that, here Vyasacharya said that you should not mechanically take down, right? You should copy down, understand the meaning as even you write, right? So you have to understand the meaning as you write. Now both are tough conditions. So what Vyasacharya does is, in between if he wants a break, right? So he'll compose several verses and he'll be ready. When he has exhausted that one group of verses and he needs a gap, right, to compose the next bunch, then he will compose a naughty verse. And once the difficult verse is composed, Mahaganapati Ganesha will have to think a little bit, right? Because he has to understand the meaning before writing. So then he will get his break and he'll come with his next set of verses. So there are quite a few paradoxical verses. This is the Puranic story behind it. So we already had one example in the second chapter. You remember this? Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati sanyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashyato munehe. Right? That one was, what is night for the ordinary person is day for the wise person, and what is day for the ordinary person is night for the wise person. Right? So this is what was said. And this also had profound Vedantic significance. Right? Now after a long break, Vyasacharya has composed another naughty verse. Right? So first we will see the literal translation of this. Okay? Which is little, it'll appear very contradictory. So, buddhiman karmani akarma pashyet. So, a buddhiman, an enlightened person, will see action in action and inaction in action. That's what is meant here, right? So, both. Wise man will see action in inaction, inaction in action, right? So, wise, then you will start wondering. A wise person is one who sees a thing as it is, right? So, if you are going to see a thing wrongly, then how can you call that person a wise person, right? So, Lord Krishna says, the one who has got this perception, right, which we think is a wrong perception, is actually a wise person. How is it possible, right? That's what Vyasacharya wants us to think, and through this paradoxical construction, Vyasacharya wants to communicate a very, very profound spiritual message. Now, we have to try to understand what this message is, and to understand this, we have to remember Tattva Bodha, right? So, we should remember what we have learnt in the second chapter of the Gita also. I'm going to quickly run through the key points, otherwise we cannot understand this verse, right? And where we had actually analyzed the personality of an individual. Only when the individual nature is understood, this shloka can become meaningful. And in the second chapter, we also went through this. And also in the Tattva Bodha, we saw that every individual is a mixture of two portions, right? Very, very important if you remember. Right? And one new term is also getting introduced. Now, every individual is a mixture of two portions, one consisting of Stula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram and Karana Shariram. I also did a quick revision two classes before. Okay? Now, every person has got a body, mind, sense complex. So, I have got a body, I have got a mind, I have got sense organs. This is called the material component of the individual, right? So, anatma amshaha. So, if you see Stula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram and Karana Shariram, right, are referred to as the anatma part of the body, I, part of I, okay? So, anatma amshaha is the material component. Then the next lesson we saw was the material component of the individual is inert by itself. Why? We saw Stula Shariram is made up of Panchabhutam. Then Sukshma Shariram is made up of Sukshma Panchabhutani. They are just subtler. Karna Shariram is subtlest. But all of them are Achetanam, right? Or Jadam, Anatma only, right? We saw that. And mind is matter, sense organs are matter, right? So, in Tattva Bodha, we saw that all of them are anatma, right? So, then we also said that this material component borrows consciousness from another component called the spiritual component called atma. Atma is the spiritual component which is of the nature of consciousness principle. This spiritual atma component lends consciousness to the body, mind, sense complex, and thus with the borrowed consciousness, the body, mind and sense organ complex is now alive. So, the fourth bullet which is there, which is the borrowed consciousness, is borrowed from Atma. Right? We sometimes refer to borrowed consciousness as reflected consciousness. We also use the word Chidabhasa for representing reflected consciousness or borrowed consciousness. Another way of depicting it is also, you remember that there was a triangular picture and then I said Vishvatayajasa Prajna. I don't want to confuse you with all these terms. Over a period of time, you get very familiar with this. If you remember Stula Sukshma Karana Shariram and borrowed or reflected consciousness, it is enough. Okay? Now, we also saw an example in order to understand this. What did we say? Like the moonlight we experience on the moon, right? You remember? We said that moon does not have a light of its own, right? Moon is only a satellite. However, we experience moonlight. Why? Because it has borrowed light from the sun. Okay? So, similarly, according to Vedanta, body has got borrowed consciousness, mind has got borrowed consciousness. This borrowed consciousness makes the body, mind, sense organs alive, right? Now, this material component along with the borrowed consciousness is referred as ahankara. Very important point, ahankara doesn't mean arrogance because of sometimes in local languages, etc., we sort of think ahankara is arrogance. It stems out of I, the ego. But ahankara, in Vedantic terms, refers to this group comprising of stula, sukshma, karana, shariram and borrowed consciousness, right? So, we refer to the mind only, right? Now, when somebody says, I am 40 years old, I am 50 years old, right? We are referring to what? We are referring to ahankara, right? The body, mind, sense complex, right? So, when you say, I'm hard of hearing, I have a problem, right, with my sense organs, my mind is not all right. Now, when you say, I am not all right, we are referring to the ahankara, right? Very, very important, right? So, the philosophical nomenclature for this individuality is ahankara. Vedanta says, very, very important point. This ahankara alone is karta, the doer of good and bad actions. Right? This ahankara alone is bhokta, which will reap the results of good and bad actions. This ahankara alone travels from one loka to another loka, taking punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam cycle. Okay? So, ahankara is karta, ahankara is bhokta, and ahankara is the one that gets tired, is going from waking state to dream state to deep sleep state. It is all ahankara, right? Ahankara is associated with temporary action and inaction, depending on which state it is, right? Action, inaction is continuously associated with action, inaction cycle, right? So, you take a break, you take a sleep. So, action, inaction, very, very important, right? Now, so, understanding Vedanta requires understanding the ahankara component or part of the individual, right? So, it is not just mere consciousness or borrowed consciousness, but body, mind, sense organs plus borrowed consciousness. Just like the moon has got borrowed light, which we refer to as moonlight, right? So, that is why if you see, when somebody goes to the moon and sees earth, they will see earth light. Right? It is the sun's reflection on the earth. We never think of it that way. Similarly, from here we are seeing moonlight. Moon doesn't have light of its own. Very important point, right? So it is reflected light. Now, ahankara is karta and bhokta and it is a finite entity. Ahankara is full of punyam and papam and it goes through this punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam cycle, constantly changing the body like we change our dress, right? So, Vedanta says, along with ahankara component, every individual is associated with another component called the spiritual component, which is as important, right? Now, if ahankara borrowed consciousness, there must be someone to lend, right? I can get a loan only if somebody is willing to give that money, right? So, moon can borrow the light only because there is someone to lend the light, right? So, similarly, all of us have got a body-mind complex and all of us have got borrowed consciousness. Then there must be another spiritual component which lends consciousness. What is that called? Atma. Yes, whenever I use the word I, it is a mixture of ahankara and the blessing Atma. Right? Because borrowed consciousness is part of ahankara. The original lender, right, is Atma, the consciousness. So, the first lesson of Vedanta is every individual is an Atma, Anatma, Atma, Ahankara mixture. Right? Now, the spiritual component alone cannot function. Similarly, the Ahankara component alone cannot function. Right? Now, you take the case of a fan, right? Now, in the fan, you have you see a visible fan, the blades, etc. You also see that there is a switch, right? And there is an invisible electricity component. With the fan alone, it is not going to rotate. And electricity alone is of no use. When the electricity blesses the fan, then you see the rotation of the fan and how it is useful, right? So, very, very important. So, fan alone will not give us breeze, right? It is the electricity plus the fan. Similarly, it's the microphone plus the electricity which can transmit, right? Very, very important. So, in and through all these variable gadgets, there is one non-variable invisible principle called electricity. In the same way, all of us are what? Visible components, right? Ahankara. How many ahankaras are there today? All of us who are on the webinar are ahankaras, right? But remember that ahankara is the visible component. But in and through that, there is a life-giving principle consciousness lending spiritual main. Let me repeat it. It's a visible part is ahankara, but there is a principle called Atma, which is the main spiritual component, which is lending consciousness to all these ahankaras. And there is one such Atma. Atma Ekam. Right? Very, very important. Right? So, Vedanta says that Atma is the same in all the people, just as electricity is same behind all the gadgets. So, Atma component, which you cannot see, I cannot see, because it is non-visible, invisible principle. Okay? Very, very important. Now, we did talk about this Atma earlier, right? So, in the second chapter, we gave seven descriptions. These descriptions, sometimes slightly, some of them are combined, some of them are removed, but we broadly, these are the ones. So, I decided to list again the verses for you so that you can go back and revise. Right? Atma, Nityaha, Nirvikaraha, Satyaha, Ekam, Sarvagatam, Aprameyaha, Akarta, Abhokta. Right? Now, very important to know this. Now, the important one here is Ekam. Atma Ekam. It is one and all pervading, Sarvagatam. This Atma is therefore the one that is intimately associated with all the Ahankara. Very, very important, right? Now, Upanishads concentrate on this Atma topic, right? The interesting fact is that Atma and Ahankara are both coexisting in every living being, but they have got absolutely opposite nature, right? So, if you say Ekam, you can say Anekam. If you say Satyam, it will be Mithya. Nityam, Anityam, like that, right? So, Atma and Anatma have totally contrasting nature, right? So, very, very important. Now, ahankaras are many and ahankaras are only present in a particular place they are located. Atma is sarvagataha, right? Now, all these things we needed to understand why. Because we actually started with verse 18. I have to go back to that verse, right? Why was it important to go through all of this, right? Ahankara is karta. Atma is akarta. Right? Ahankara is karta, doer of action. Whereas Atma is akarta. Very, very important. It does not and cannot do any action. Fan moves around. You don't say electricity is going around. The blades of the fan are moving around. Electricity just blesses the fan. It does not do any action. Similarly, Atma is akarta. Right? It makes us move. It makes each ahankara move. Right? But Atma is akarta. Right? Now, karta means what? It is doing an action. It has connection with the action. Not only ahankara has karma sambandha, ahankara actions are temporary. Actions are followed by what? Inaction, I said, right? We take rest, and if not during the waking period, at least during the sleep we take rest. Therefore, ahankara is associated with temporary action and temporary inaction. Ahankara is associated with a cyclical action, inaction cycle, right? Very, very important. Now, at a bigger level, the same action and inaction will become what? Life and death. Okay? So, life means action, death is inaction. So, after death, what will happen? Death will be followed by rebirth again, which is action. So, ahankara can never die permanently. It will die and gain another body, start all over again. So, ahankara has got karma, akarma, temporary, it will go through again fresh. It will do fresh karmas. So, it will keep on going in a cyclical manner, right? Whereas, Atma is not associated with any karma or akarma. Atma is associated with what? A permanent akarma. So, it is never a karta or a bhokta. So, it's a permanent akarma. So, Atma does not have temporary karma, temporary akarma. Atma is associated with permanent akarma, and a wise person is one who has understood the nature of ahankara associated with the temporary karma and temporary akarma. Wise man is aware of Atma and its higher nature, which is associated with the permanent akarma. Having understood both components, very important, he can use the word I to mean any one of them. Either ahankara or atma, right? According to this, to the context, the wise man knows my real nature is atma, right? He knows that. So, he will at times use that, right? Then what is ahankara for him? It is only a vesham, a costume, right? That I am putting on for the drama called life. So, every living being is part of a huge drama, which is a stage managed by Ishvara. Ishvara is the administrator, right? From beginningless time. In this cosmic drama, Bhagavan wants several actors, several costumes. He doesn't decide what kind of actor, what kind of costume. It is dictated by the law of karma, right? So, ahankara is the costume that we put on for the drama. So, during sleep state, no drama takes place because what? We are in the green room, having kept aside the ahankara. If this picture is clear, right, and if I want to remember this, right, these points, and then I remember, I am a mixture of atma and ahankara. Atma is my real nature, and ahankara is a vesham or a costume, right? If we remember this, this is the preparatory step, right, and towards understanding this shloka also, right? So, very, very important points that we have to remember, right? Absolutely essential. So, once we remember this, then it is easy for us to relate to the actual verse, right? Now, we actually have, let's now come back to the 18th verse, right? So, we actually seem to think that Lord Krishna is complicating it by presenting in a slightly paradoxical language. So, for a beginner, it might appear a little difficult to grasp at the beginning, but once you read this and you understand the principle behind it, it becomes clearer, right? So, it's not something that's meant for appealing in the first time of study itself, right? So, now continuing with this, now we saw that both ahankara and Atma are totally opposite in nature, and ahankara is karta and bhokta, subject to temporary actions, right? Our real and higher nature Atma is akarta, abhokta, and akarta meaning not involved in any action. Even when ahankara is violently busy, right? Atma continues to be akarta, unassociated with karma, right? And Atma is abhokta also. What does that mean? It means unassociated with karma phalam in the form of punyam and papam. Atma does not have punyam and papam also. Thus, Atma is akarta, abhokta. So, normally a common man does not know that I have these two layers of personality and Atma is my higher nature. The common person does not know this. Jnani is the only one, right? He has struggled a lot and discovered the ahankara component and atma component. And just discovering this is not enough. Through long practice, he has learned to look at the ahankara as what? As only a costume, right? Not my real nature. And it takes long shravanam, mananam and nididhyasanam to say that, to say means not say from the lips, right? To realize and say that I am akarta, abhokta, atma. So, what will the attitude of a jnani when he lives in the world be? right? How does he look at himself? A jnani's mindset, Krishna wants to actually describe, hoping that one day we all will become jnani, right? Very important. So, therefore, this is actually a test shloka kind to know where we are, right? Lord Krishna wants to point out that even when jnani's ahankara is continuously active, jnani does not want to identify with this costume ahankara and the activities of the ahankara. He remembers and claims within himself that all these are at superficial level. I am the Atma who is neither associated with the karma or karma phalam. This actionless center, right? He remembers amidst the activity, right? To understand this concept, several acharyas try to give several examples, right? Some of them become very, very abstract and confusing also, because different acharyas have tried different prakriyas, as they call it, right? So, like one example that Swami Dayananda Saraswati used to often quote is, when we are watching a movie, we are experiencing a lot of characters, right? Actively moving. Now, if it is in Mahabharata serial or movie and it's a war scene, so many people are running across. They are fighting, running, hitting. It's an action-packed movie that we are watching, right? We are so absorbed in the movie that we are even affected emotionally, right? Swamiji, in fact, Pooji Swamiji says, movie is called movie because it moves you. Movati iti movie. He used to give a Sanskrit definition for it also. So when we are absorbed in the movie, in the motion picture, we generally forget that behind all the motion, there is another factor. How, we think about it now that I am giving you this example. Right? I also wondered. There is actually another factor right in front of our eyes, which we don't notice. What is that? Which is a non-participant. It is a screen on which it is being projected. Right? Unfortunately, that's the ignored factor. Right? The screen is the ignored factor. Really speaking, characters are not there at all. Solid characters are all almost real in a 3D movie, right? They're all nothing but what? Light and shadow moving, nitya, right? Now, behind this is a permanent one, which is the screen, right? Screen alone is there, right? The innocent screen which does not move at all. It is not affected by the villainy of the villain, not affected by the nobility of the hero, not affected by the profusely flowing tears of the heroine, right? None of them have any connection to the screen. At the same time, you cannot say, since the screen does not participate in the movie, why not remove it? Right? You cannot ask. It's a non-participant, but without whom there is no movie. Right? Very, very important. So, the mere screen cannot be a movie. The characters alone cannot be a movie. The mixture of the screen and the movie is required. So, we require a karta akarta mixture. Bhokta abhokta mixture is required. Vedanta says, life is also a mixture of akarta abhokta atma. Karta bhokta ahankara, right? Very, very important. It is a mixture of akarta abhokta atma and karta bhokta ahankara. The mixture is required for life to move on. Don't be carried away by the moving factor. Be aware of the motionless center screen also. Never forget a movie as a movie. When you are watching the movie, in corner, let it be remembered in one corner. So, jnani enjoys the movie called life. He cries also when there is occasion to cry. He remembers that behind all these motions, at a real level, at a central level, there is a screen, which is the real I called Atma. He knows I am the screen. Ahankara is either the hero or the heroine or villain or often buffoon or whatever it is, right? So, Ahankara is a movie character. Atma is the screen. In Dakshinamurti Stotram, Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam Nijantargatam. Darpana means, this one is, here in Dakshinamurti Stotram, Vishwam, the Jagat, is compared to
a reflected city obtaining in a huge mirror. That is what in Dakshinamurti Stotram, it's a very, very important stotram. In fact, I've uploaded the meaning of this also under a section called Shlokas in our portal. You can see this. The second example that Shankaracharya gives, every Acharya gives examples, right? Whatever appeals to you. So, I gave you what Pooja Swamiji uses. Shankaracharya has also given an example, right? Very important. He has given an example of our own dream, right? Which we experience every day. Before going to the dream, we go to bed and we are sleeping on a cot without any activity. We don't move, right? Because we are on the cot, right? Now, if we move, we will fall down, right? Definitely. But we are remaining actionless on the cot. Remember this. I get a dream in which I am active in the world, right? Say I am a sales representative in dream and I am going from one place to another, from one airport to another, living on suitcase to suitcase. So, even though I am traveling all over in dream, my dream personality is traveling, but my real personality, which is a waker, which is actionlessly, motionlessly lying down on the bed in Chennai, even though I travel all over the world. Now, imagine a hypothetical situation. Generally, what happens when we are in dream, we don't know that the dream is dream. Okay? So, as Swamiji often says, for a dreamer, dream is not a dream in dream. For a dreamer, dream is not a dream in dream. We experience a dream without knowing, like I'm a dreamer. Now, just imagine a hypothetical situation where the dreamer is aware that he's a dreamer. Okay? So, I am in dream, I now know that it is a dream. Since I know it is a dream, I know that this is not my real personality. I am using the dream body only as a costume for the dream drama to go on. Who am I really? Not this moving body at all. Right? I am the actionless waker. Even when the activity is going on. Imagine I am a tennis player and I am going on, hitting and I am playing Wimbledon final. Right? Assume in the dream. Right? Now, if I know it as a dream, right, and parallelly I am lying down on the bed comfortably. Okay, I am lying down and I know it's a dream and I am enjoying the dream. Right? So, even amidst all this action, I am actionless. And in the dream, between two games, there is a temporary rest. Right? There is a temporary rest for the tennis player. Right? So, when that temporary rest also belongs to the dream person only. Doesn't belong to me, the waker. The waker is beyond the temporary activity of the dream. Right? It is beyond the temporary rest of the dream player. I am beyond what? Both the action and inaction of the dream player. I am in permanent relaxation. This is the message Lord Krishna gives here. Jnani remembers, I am in permanent relaxation as Atma. The Ahankara has got temporary action and temporary inaction. Jnani does not claim both the temporary action and the temporary inaction. Very, very important. Please remember these examples because this is an easy way of relating and you have to spend a lot of time thinking about this. Preferably in silence, contemplating over this to understand. These are good examples to actually go through, right? So, Jnani does not claim both the temporary action as well as the temporary inaction. So, Lord Krishna is trying to communicate this in this shloka. So, Karmani, as such a long introduction was needed for this one verse, 18th verse, right? So, Karmani, in the activities of the Ahankara, amidst the activity of Ahankara, right, we have to say, Ahankarasya Karmani, basically. In the action of the Ahankara, the Jnani claims actionlessness of the Atma. Atmana Akarma. So, Ahankarasya Karmani. When Ahankara is involved in the activity, Jnani is aware of the actionlessness of the real I Atma. He does not tell other people because others don't know Atma Tattvam at all. Right? Within himself, he remembers, I am ever actionless Atma. This is Karmani Akarma Darshanam. Right? And when the Ahankara, similarly, Akarmani Cha Karmayaha. When the Ahankara is temporarily resting, Jnani is aware of the temporary rest of Ahankara. But Jnani does not want to claim the temporary rest of the Ahankara also. Just like what? Like the dream tennis player's temporary rest belongs to the dream player. The waker does not have temporary rest. He has permanent rest, even when he is playing. Right? Very important. Jnani does not claim what? The temporary inaction of the Ahankara. And he understands that the temporary inaction of Ahankara also is not really inaction. Right? So it is only a gap between two violent bouts of action. So the temporary inaction basically is only a potential action which is going to come. I will explain to you why. So Ahankara's inaction is not real inaction. Right? If you sit and think, if you look at your mind really, we are not resting. Imagine you are sitting in meditation. We only know that the temporary gap, this is very, very subtle, okay? So the mind always, you think that the mind is silent, but the mind is thinking either of the past action. Take the tennis player again. He will either be thinking of the previous game in which he missed some important shots, or his mind is thinking of the next game, or at least where should I break, what should I do. So it is not actually inaction, but potential action only, right? Therefore, ahankarasya akarmani avyakta karma jnani pashyati. He sees it as a potential action, right? So, jnani does not want to claim that akarma also. Jnani wants to claim what? He wants to claim only atma's akarma, which is not temporary but permanent, right? That the essence is jnani does not want to identify with the ahankara. He uses, but he does not want to get lost in the ahankara. So Dayananda Swamiji presents it in a very simple way. Remember, life is nothing but playing different roles. That's all. And without any of the roles in the green room, right? When you are in the green room, that means what? When you are associated with your higher nature, Atma, you have no tension. Life will not be a burden. The moment you become father totally, mother totally, husband totally, wife totally, life will be full of problems. Jnani remembers that life is a drama. This is the essence. Right? Yav pashyati saha satcha jnani manushyeshu buddhiman is the most intelligent person among humans. Others are lost in ahankara. Therefore, life is a drama. Right? Otherwise, for a person who abides in atma, it is a blessing. For the others, it's a drama conducted by Bhagavan, right? So, sa buddhiman manushyeshu sa yuktaha. The one who does not lose sight of the essence is in fact a yogi, right? And he revels in atma jnanam. Yuktaha means one who never forgets his real nature, atma. Therefore, only he is a person of fulfillment. Krishna karma krita means a person of fulfillment, right? This is a very significant word. When I take myself as ahankara, I will never have fulfillment because ahankara has constantly got multiple roles to play, right? Even if you fulfill one role, all the duties, another role, there will be unfulfilled duties, right? So the duties will only keep on increasing with age, with more generations, grandchildren, right? Great grandchildren, it will only keep increasing, right? So very, very important to remember this. So, what Vedanta says is, as ahankara, I am always wanting, missing something or the other. I am inadequate, incomplete, discontented, unsatisfied, right? So, that is why we need to make sure that we dwell in atma. Atma is purnaha. Ahankara cannot become purnaha. Can atma become purnaha? Atma need not become purnaha. It is purnaha. So, after claiming the purna atma, use the ahankara for fun. As long as ahankara is alive, let it do a lot of things. Don't expect Purnatvam to come from the world. It will not come. Jnani acts with Purnatvam without expecting Purnatvam to come from children or grandchildren. That will be the greatest disappointment. According to me, this is the most practical relevance, right, to our day-to-day life. So, while we bring up children, we always bring them up with lot of expectations. Whatever we did not achieve, we expect them to achieve. So, this actually totally flips it. It says, enjoy the journey of bringing up children, all of that. Enjoy your role as an ahankara. But for fulfillment, only depend on Atma, the self, right? Not the ahankara, right? Sorry. Discover Purnatvam, enjoy raising children, right? But don't have the hope of getting Purnatvam through them. Jnani knows this. Therefore, Krishna Karma Krita. This is a very, very important shloka. The following six are going to be commentary to this shloka. 18th being the most important shloka, I thought it is important to spend this time. So, the meaning of this, I think now you will be able to understand this better. He who sees actionlessness of the self in the action of the body, and he who sees potential action in the inaction of the body, is wise among men. He is a yogi who has accomplished everything. Okay? Now, I have an important announcement also, so I will finish this and then I will take questions. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Yeah, one point to be noted is 19th May and 26th May we will not be having classes because I am traveling. And yeah, this is a request from Vyoma Sanskrita Patashala. So I just wanted to spend couple of minutes. Many of you already know about Vyoma Sanskrita Patashala. It stands for promoting Sanskritam, Sanskriti and Samskara, right? So I am here conducting this session because of the Samskara and the Sanskriti part. Now they have a request to make because I'm not sure if you're aware. Many of the people who are teaching here, who are conducting courses, do it out of real interest and who want to further the cause of either Sanskritam or Sanskriti or Samskara. There are people who have given up careers in the middle of the career and they have actually, you know, contributing to this. You will see that their salary levels are also, I can actually take the liberty of telling you this, that their salary levels are also considerably lower compared to what, you know, we should be, and we should motivate these people. Plus also the infrastructure cost is there. So today I offered to put up this slide because I know that they always survive only through donations. So just a request to you, whatever is possible, any amount is okay. I don't think anything is small or bigger or whatever it is. And the site actually gives you the details of how you can donate. Or write in to me or write to sanskritfromhome.in. We will definitely, you know, respond to you. Whatever is possible. And also if you can volunteer your effort from technology side or teaching of Sanskrit or any of these, please let us know. So welcome. Any questions? I'm just going to take a look at the questions here. While borrowing consciousness from Atma, does the quantity and quality of borrowing depend on the Purva Janma balance of karma? Actually, the karma balance is what decides our Stula Sukshma Shariram, etc. So, in a way, yes, but not directly the consciousness. The other question was, what is the source of Atma, Bhagavan? No, Atma is the all-pervading consciousness behind Bhagavan also. It's that way. So that is the Aikyam. I think most of the questions here I have subsequently answered. Some people have had okay, let me now go to the hand symbol and see if anybody is waiting to speak up. No, I know today's session was quite deep, so please take your time and think about it, because I think I have, yeah, there is a question on whether we can support from international location. Yes, you can donate from outside also. Not a problem. The details are available in the site, vyomalabs.in, so you can do that, right? So I think the questions related to the session itself I have covered already in the session. So I do know that all of you must be thinking about what I spoke today. Do listen to the recording also once again if it's required, and write to me, and I will try and put these questions together and take it up in the next session. Okay? Dhanyavada. Namaste.